Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Sickos. It's Robert.
Good morning, Robert. All right. Sponsors today, the Godfish Expo, McLean Trailers, the Belleville Meat Market, Texan Roofing, and Boyd's One Stop. And that Godfish Expo, that's right around the corner next weekend. Starts Friday, runs through Sunday, and at the Galveston County Fairgrounds. Good deals on tackle. Lots of people to meet and a lot of things to do. It's a pretty cool event. All right. Welcome them back for another round here at the Outdoor Show. All right. Looking at weather this morning. Galveston, it's 60 degrees down on island. There may be a little bit of fog. I've seen a little bit in my area. It's mostly low ground fog, but it's still kind of impairs your driving a little bit, so be safe out there. And looking at today, we have cloudy skies, areas of dense fog is possible, high around 70. Southeast winds will be 5 to 10, and then tonight a few clouds, low of 66. Winds will be south at 5 to 10. And then for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, high of 73. Winds will be south-southeast at 10 to 15. Looks like weather up on the high ground will reach, temperatures will reach near 80 today, so very, very nice December weather. Not so much for hunting, but really great for fishing, so calm seas and warm temperatures, that's not too shabby. I'll take it, especially for December. It's very nice. Looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're on a four-tide schedule. We're sitting on a high right now. It was a 1.2 at the Galveston Channel at 12:37 a.m. last night. And we have a low coming up at 8:02 a.m. It's a negative 0.3. And a high at 3:59 p.m. It's a 1.6 with a low following that up tonight at 9:15 p.m. A 1.2. 6:57 a.m. is sunrise. 5:20 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 9%. Our first new moon of the month will be Saturday night. All right, looking at current conditions, the buoy offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. It's 67 degrees out there with south-southwest winds at 4 to 7 miles per hour. Barometric pressure is 30.14 inches and steady. And at Eagle Point, it's 61 degrees this morning with 64-degree water, west-southwest winds at 5. And at Morgan's Point, it's 61 degrees, 64-degree water, and it is wind direction is not available because it's variable at 2 miles per hour. Really smoking there. You might want to throw those life jackets on. Those tough conditions. But, no, it's quite nice this morning, so make the most of it. All right, let's go up to Lake Conroe. Let's get cranked up with Mr. Richard Totch, the fish dude. What's up, Richard?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you this morning?
I couldn't be better, and you?
Yeah, man, about the same. This weather is great, isn't it?
It's fishing weather, man.
You're not kidding. It is. You know, I guarantee you're not kidding. I mean, I've had off all week, so that's a good thing. I snuck over to Rayburn the other day, and that's when I heard about Will, because it's
nephew called me Sunday. I was running down to Boyd's Sunday afternoon, and I got the call and said he passed on November 25th.
Mm-mm-mm. I pulled in there.
Just, you know, poor guy. He just went through a lot, and I guess it was too much stress on him losing Vicky like he did,
yeah.
You know, with the brain surgery and everything.
Yeah.
And they've been together forever, and that's basically really the only person he had in his life, you know?
Pretty much, you know. I mean, that's the thing. They were thickest thieves. Everywhere you saw him, you saw her.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of them things. I knew it. You know, it's one of those things. You've been together that dang long. It's normally that one goes, the other one's not long behind. You know, I mean,
felt so bad for him. He moved back up to Illinois. You know, where he was originally from. He'd been in Texas about 40 years, but. You know, with the job he used to have, he worked all over the country. And he finally found a home in Texas. He started out guiding on Lake Livingston and moved over to Sam Rayburn. But, he was a wealth of knowledge, I'll tell you. He taught me a lot about fishing and life that I'd have never known without him. And he was a great friend. It was hard to swallow, brother.
No, I know. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and I just pulled in there at Powell Park the other day when I was headed over yonder, and I got to talking about him, and the lady behind the counter said, yeah, he just passed a few days ago, and I said, dang it,
yep.
I didn't know that. So
it's terrible.
That's life goes on, right? We're all living to die. That's the main thing.
Hey, none of us are going to get out of this alive, brother.
No, we're not.
We're not. That's inevitable.
There ain't no doubt. But that's why I'm going to have fun every dang day I can. There ain't no doubt about that either. So, but no, I was over there. Yeah, I figured, shoot, I'm going over there. I ain't got nothing to do. He's over there and start chugging them rattle traps around for that rattle trap deal I got coming up in January. And,
man, it's already that time again.
It is, isn't it?
It didn't seem that long ago we were talking about this tournament and you were over there.
I know it, and here we go again. But it's, I decided to put on them, you know, try to get used to that active target and stuff on that, on Rayburn where I didn't even look to see if there was any hydrilla or not. I got hung up on that deep water stuff and couldn't get off of it. So I was sitting out there watching them dang stumps and stuff, and I found one dang old stump, had so many bass crawling around it, but they wasn't none of them very big. This stump's hanging out. I don't even remember how deep it was, probably about 25 feet. And I think it only stood up about 5 feet off the bottom, maybe six. But you could see these bass crawling around it, and I'd chuck that trap out there and catch them. Because when you're looking at that thing, you don't really care about depth. You just want to know where they're at. And so I got out there and got to chunking, and I was going along and hit some like 38 and 40 foot of water, and spotted these trees out there, and I had it ranged out about 60 feet. And I said, dang, that looks like some fish on top of them things. But the top of the trees, you know, weren't, I thought it was bass it was, but I thought, man, that thing's deep. You know, it's like 40 foot. And I'm sitting there, how do you get a rattle trap that deep? So I just chunked it out there and let it sink. Started watching it sink a little bit, and I started reeling the dang. As soon as I got down there, probably about 20 feet or so, and started reeling on it, boom, about a 4-pounder hit it. And I said, dang, that's a good one. Got that rascal in, took it back out there and did the same thing, and hooked into another one, and it was a big old crappie. And I said, uh-oh, that's going to be a problem. We got to catch a big 4-pound bass on a rattle trap, and then the very next cast, catch about a 2-pound crappie on a rattle trap.
2-pound crappie.
I guarantee you. And I said, that'll be a problem right there. So I got to looking around. I said, if y'all are down there, I got a crappie jig. So I went to chucking that rascal at them, and I caught several of them, but I kept alternating between, you know, fishing for bass and fishing for them crappie, just because I'd spot everywhere. You'd be crappie on this limb, bass on this limb, and like I say, where you're looking at them swimming, it's making it where you don't even look. You're not concerned about depth anymore. You don't worry about it. You just look for where the fish are, and that's where you fish.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, historically, and I am super guilty of it, in the spring or even in the summer, crappie fishing, for example. Okay, in the spring, they'll be 8 to 12 foot deep, you know, around the brush piles. And later on, as it gets towards the summer, they go from 12 to 14, 16, 18, 20, and deeper, right? So they kind of progressively move out. That's been the historical way of dealing with things. I think that's all going to change. I think it's all going to change because I get it, like out there on Rayburn yesterday. Most of the fish I was seeing were 20 foot deep and 38 foot of water. You know, I mean, it's just,
well,
that's where they were. They're
big time, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're right up in the middle of everything. But one of the weirdest things, and I would have never in my wildest dreams ever guessed or seen this happen. When people talk about when you hit a tree or brush pile and you hang up and jerk on it, how the fish will leave. I was on this one tree. This one tree had like four forks in it, and it's stuffed out there in that 38 foot of water. And about 22 feet down, there was a limb that forked out, and it had a wad of crappie on it. I threw that jig out there, and I could watch it fall. Well, it's falling behind that limb. So I thought I had it deep enough, and I did. I actually had it too deep. So I pulled it up a little bit, and it hung. Well, when it hung, I tugged on it to pop it out of there, and it popped out all right. Every dang crappie left. As soon as it popped out. I mean, it was the weirdest thing, Mickey. It was like you set off a birdshot. If you're looking at it on that screen, every one of them just scattered. I mean, they left that limb and were gone. I looked around for them. I don't even know where they went. There must have been about 50 of them. And they came out of that one fork and just hit it down deep and just split up. I mean, it was funny. I'd never seen that. And it was, as soon as I popped it out of there, every one of those crappie left. Every one of them. There wasn't one left in the fork of that tree. That was weird.
Yeah, that
and then
is.
I pull up to others, and sometimes, you know, you'll see one or two of them. When you hang up, you'll pop it. You'll see one of them, one or two of them jump out of there and kind of spook. You know they spook because you can see them turn around and come back to it. But these all left. I mean, it was like just, like it was one for all and all for, I mean, it was just, let's go. There's something wrong with this tree. And they took off. But, I mean, it was that, just doing that stuff like that, being able to see that happen and know that, hey, I'm wasting my time now. They're gone. You know, because that's exactly what happened too. Because, I mean, when you see them leave like that, and you go to searching around and you can't even find them swimming off. But I saw them going down. They were headed to the bottom. They said, we don't want to be in the slim no more. It's just funny. But anyway, like I said, all that stuff there is going to change the way everybody fishes, just like with the, you know, with the crappie anyway. I mean, that's
a game changer. Good for us, bad for the fish.
Yeah, it really is. You know,
real bad for the fish, buddy.
Crappie especially.
Yep.
Crappie especially. I mean, because they just glow.
Let me get this first break in, Richard, and I'll come back to you, man. Hang with me, buddy. All right.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 417 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go back and talk some more with Richard Todd. All right, Richard, what's up, man?
Not a lot. Yeah, take a break, get me started on something else. Them dang old catfish on Conroe doing pretty good, too.
You've been pouring the coals to them, man.
Man, them sunguns are getting big. They're getting thick, and just every one of them are just the right size. I'm catching some little ones from time to time. Don't get me wrong, but, yeah, man, those suckers are getting thick.
For the most part, man. You know, I've seen you catching a lot of nice catfish, buddy.
You ain't kidding. And, every once in a while we get one of them big old giant rascals, too. But, they're okay. The other day we had a couple of them about 12 pounds. They'd come right, get them right up to the top. And I try to jerk them in the boat a lot of times. Well, dang it. The line gets frayed up sometime, and they'll break that line. But what I do with mine, though, is a lot of times when I'm doing catfishing, people want to use monofilament or something like that. I use braided line, 30-pound braid. Put that 30-pound braid on there, and that stuff is as tough as it can be. And monofilament's fine. The problem with monofilament is it ends up breaking a lot more, and you have to retie a lot. And that's with me, it's – Everybody knows how I fish out there. Anyways, I like to be as efficient as possible. I don't want to be tying a hook. I'm going to put it on there and go to jerking on them and keep jerking on them. And everybody goes looking at my treble hooks and go, man, that hook's all jacked up. And I said, well, yeah, but it still catches fish.
One hook maybe bent a little bit, but the other two are still good.
The thing is, all three of them be bent. When you see mine, what's funny about these things, I'll start buying two hook treble hooks instead of a double hook instead of a treble hook, because a lot of times I'll be out there fishing and using that bait like I do with that stink bait mixed up, and you just punch the hook in there and cover it up, pull it out, right? So it all kind of sticks to your hook. But if you get a double one where it breaks off one bar, people say, oh, I got a messed up hook. I said, well, just send it to me. I'll take it. They'll catch more fish that way. That I never want to believe it. But for some reason, when you get a double barbed hook on there and you can get that stink bait to stick to it, you'll catch more fish. I guess it just lays in their mouth right or something instead of rolling it around or in their mouth.
Yeah, how do you make that punch bait? What do you do to make that and put it on a hook?
Mickey, what I
stuff?
Do is I got a couple of different ones that I mix together is what I do. I got that, I've talked about it before, that Primos is what you get. You can get it at Walmart or Academy or Bass Pro or whatever. Now, they came out with they've got two of the kinds that I like are the original and the blood. They came out with this garlic scent stuff, but I ain't, no. You don't need all that junk on catfish. You just need something that smells bad. So that, I don't even get it. I won't even get it. I mean, it's just, I don't like that garlic smell on bass. I mean, I like it on bass, but don't like it on catfish. And so anyway, I'll take that Primos, the Blood or the Original, and then a Stallway Marine Oil. I think, I don't know if you can order it online or not, but they have that Mr. Whiskers stink bait also, which has some cattail fibers in it. And I just, for convenience.
Is that what holds it together, is the cattail fibers?
That's the cattail fibers. That's what holds it together. With the Primos stuff, it turns, like if it's real hot outside, it'll turn into a liquid, 100% liquid. You can actually pour it out of the jar.
Right.
But when you mix that cattail fiber in there, then it's a binder. It'll stick. The problem is in the winter, the Primos is as hard as a rock because it's like lard. It's kind of like Crisco lard, you know. It's just hard. So you got to heat it up or warm it up. Well, I just mix water in it to thin it out. And when you put that cattail fiber stuff in there, stir it up real good. It works good that way. I've tried using cotton balls on it. Well, the problem with the cotton ball, it keeps wadding up and getting on your hook, and you foul your hook.
So, right.
And then another thing about it is, so many people say, man, I got a big wad on there, I'm going to catch a whole bunch. You got a number 8 treble hook. That number 8 treble hook is no bigger than about 3/8 of an inch diameter. Yeah, it's a little bitty hook. And when you take a big old 3-inch wad of bait on there, how much of it's going to stay on that little bitty hook? About 3/8 of an inch. So on the way to the bottom, you lose 3/4 of what you got on the hook. And then when you get it down to the bottom, first jerk you got, everything else is gone. And people say, man, I put a whole bunch on there. Why do I keep losing it? Well, you're losing everything outside the hook. You're wasting is what you're doing.
Right.
I mean, because it doesn't, you need what you need is what's right around that hook. Now, the consistency of that stuff when I mix it together, you know, that's another thing. You just kind of play it by ear for the temperature outside and what it's going to be for the day. If it's thick, add a little bit of water. If it's thin, add a little bit more hair to it, you know. So that's but like I said, I've used those cotton balls and all kinds of stuff. Butch actually used a chamois oil. And
what kind of oil?
A chamois cloth.
Oh, chamois, okay.
Yeah. Butch will take a chamois cloth and cut those chamois cloths out and then cut a hole in the center and slide that little squares, you know, and slide it over the top of that hook and poke it over them treble hooks and then dip it down in that Primos like that, and it absorbs that
right.
So that's,
yeah, I remember the old timers, didn't they used to use sponge on there? They'd call it sponge bait or something.
Right, and I've still got sponges. See, I used to do that too. The problem with the sponges is every conroe fish have got some mean mouths. About every third fish, you got to tie a new sponge on.
I got you.
So that kills your efficiency. So you every third hook, you're having to retie. So you got 4 people in the boat. So every 12 fish, you're retying 3 hooks or 4 hooks, right?
Right.
So. I mean, it's just like, good night, when I got to quit retying. It's worse than using monofilament that way.
So it's more efficient, just keep same treble hook and then ball up that bait you use.
I don't ball it up. I take a stick. I got some holders made. I shove them in the corner of the boat. After I mix that hair and that Primos, that Mr. Whiskers and that Primos together, to get them consistency I want, I've got some electric fence post cut down about 14 inches long, and I'll take those sticks and I'll push that hook down in there, cover it up, pull it out, so you're never touching the bait.
So it cleans there that hook pretty good then, the consistency.
It does.
I got you.
It does. It sticks really, really well.
See, I need to learn how to do that just so I can say I did it and I know what I'm talking about about.
You know, Mickey, the thing about these catfish is so many people are used to stink bait where you actually, like you say, you wad it up, put it on your hook.
Yeah.
That's Catfish Charlie. Now, granted, Catfish Charlie, in my opinion, is the very best catfish bait out there. But it is the very nastiest catfish bait out there.
It's disgusting.
I mean, it's going to permeate your skin, and because trust me, I used to use it all the time. And you have to make dough balls out of it and put it on the hook.
Right.
And it gets into your skin, and you can't, it won't go away for 3 months. I mean, you smell like it. That's why I don't like using it. Because it's, I mean, you'll walk
around.
Man,
that's what I was
like
smelling
that
when you were up here in the studio with me back in the COVID days.
That was your upper
lip. Or was it that big red you were drinking?
That's what it was. You know it. There ain't no doubt about that. Good night. But it's, you know, I mean, that's just different things that you learn over the years like that, you know. It's just like that. Like I said, Catfish Charlie is the best there ever was and ever will be. The problem is handling the dang stuff. And so when I mix those two together like that, you know, like I say, you can use pretty much anything you want. I've tried polyester in it, just mixing different stuff in there to try to find out what works better. So far, those cattail fibers are the best. So, you know, that's just in that Mr. Whiskers bait anyway. So if you just go to the shoreline and grab you some cattail heads and start breaking them apart and putting that fuzz off in there and that Primos, it'll work too.
I'll be darned.
So, you know, that's
learn
all it is.
Something new every day, buddy.
Yeah, it's just a binder is all it is. Something that, and then it'll actually, you know, like cotton. With cotton, it's all got these little hooks on it, so it grabs everything. You know, it's kind of like Velcro. It's just microscopic type Velcro.
Yeah.
So when it grabs off, one fiber grabs off of another one, it's going to grab another one. So as you add that cotton fiber to your hook or a cotton ball to your hook, you keep adding it keeps getting thicker and thicker and thicker, and then starts fouling up that hook. That's, you know, those just weird things that I look at. You know, I don't want anything fouling that hook. I want everything presented right. Even though the hook may be jacked up, as long as I can get a big water bait on there, I'm good to go. There ain't no doubt about that. I'll tell you what. And it's, I mean, it's when you see it and do it, it's just like, this is so simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, And it is efficient. I mean, you know, when you go out there and say, on a normal day, I can catch 30 fish in 30 minutes, that's pretty efficient.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and that's what I love about it. I can go out there and say, all right, I'm gonna spend 30 minutes on these, and then that's it. We'll catch this many fish and gone. And sometimes you'll get more than that, so that's even better. But them hybrids are even trying to fire up a little bit. Dang, little ones are everywhere still, though, but I mean, that's all right. You got to have little ones get big ones. They are. They are, and they're headed that way. So that's all I got to do is keep
like our little trout up and down the coast. All they're going to do is grow up. Just take care of them. And when you turn them back, don't hurt them.
Yeah, just don't hurt them. I mean, that's the thing, you know. You take care of, I mean, those trout down there, y'all got to really take care of them after that freeze last year.
Yeah, they're sensitive anyway. They're not called a spotted weak fish for nothing. They're pretty weak.
No. They can't take that temperature variation like that. I mean,
well,
the
mishandling is the big deal of whether you hook them too deep or,
absolutely,
you know, drop them on the floor of the boat and let them flop around and, you know, all that mess. But
you don't want to do them like
that.
No, you don't want to do them like I do my crappie or catfish. I chunk them at the live well lid. Pow. Okay. Bank shots.
Bank them off.
Got it. That's
when you
it.
Get in with them big old piles of catfish, I guess. How do you clean those? You use a regular straight blade, or you use an electric knife, or?
I got an electric knife. I learned all my stuff from them Cajuns over there. I used to use just a regular. I can do it either way. Regular knife. Problem with a regular knife, it just takes too long doing that many fish.
Does it? I'm just opposite on cleaning trout and redfish. Electric knife just slows me down.
Trout, one thing about trout is I believe it on trout. But on the redfish, I don't know. Because I use that Sawzall. See, now I'm using Sawzall.
Oh, that's right. You went to all that
that
big stuff. Yeah, you can saw that, through an armadillo with that.
Yeah, I'll take that Falazol blade and put through there, and good night. He's got so many different blades. He's got that big, thick blade. He's got that thin one. I really like that thin one on them crappie and hybrids and stuff. But the hybrids, you know, you get in them hybrids, you can get that big old blade. He's got a 10 and a 12-incher. And, man, that sucker, biggest problem with it is it's just bad through the bone. He ain't lying. It'll go clean through.
Well, yeah, that's what's good about something like that when you're cleaning redfish, because them – Them darn redfish rib bones where they attach.
Yes.
I mean, you got to cut through them on a fillet, and they're like cutting through toothpicks. So you need to.
Exactly.
You know, that's where an electric knife comes into play good is on reds.
Right. And see, that's the same way with those hybrids, because those bones, good night, they're big around as your pinkies.
Yeah.
They're
thick.
Yep. And years ago, I used to use, you know, I've tried them all, don't get me wrong. Now, I used to use like those Hamilton Beach bread slicers or Black & Decker bread slicers. You get them at Walmart for like $10. And I'd use them, but dang, for 20 years I used them dang things. And for 20 years I went through an average of one a week. So it's like, and then I got this thing. I went over there, I was over at Hackberry Rod and Gun, and I was fishing with them. And I seen one of them sawzalls laying there. I said, what in the world do y'all use that on? And they said, redfish. And I said, well, dang it, if y'all can use it on them, I can use it on hybrids, and I can use it on everything else.
No doubt.
So I got me one and been using it ever since. And knock on wood, I have not burned one up yet. I had one about 4.5 years that I was using and finally pulled the cord loose in the back and then got another one. Because, I mean, it lasts that long. Instead of going through one a week, I'm going through one every 4 years. That's pretty good.
All right, man. Well, I got to run. Richard, if somebody wants to call you about coming up and fishing with you, man, give them some info, bud.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me, 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Well, Richard, have a good one, and catch him up, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Thanks, Richard. See you, buddy. All right, it's Richard Totch up on Lake Conroe, actually over at Sam Rayburn fishing right now.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:36 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Matagorda Way. Let's check in with Captain Charlie P. this morning. Charlie Paradosky, what is up?
Morning, Mickey. What's happening?
I'm all good. Can't ask for better weather than we have right now. I've had all week. What a beautiful week of weather, bud.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been off for about 3 days, and looking pretty good. You know, it's we're in December. You know, I consider it the best fishing month of the year. And
yep.
When
you always
you catch
have.
Weather like yeah, when you can catch weather like this, you're gonna catch fish. Ain't no doubt about it. So, looking good. How about awesome. You? You been fishing?
No, I didn't. This week, my brother-in-law came in and stayed with me from Louisiana, and we gave my sister her burial, you know, mm-hmm. and did all that. And he wanted some fresh blue crabs for have a crab boil, and we did that yesterday. And boy, did we have one! I'm backing up this morning. I ate so many crabs last night.
Man, you're on a crabbing kick, aren't you?
We are. We got some located, and they're absolutely drop dead gorgeous. I mean, we threw our old traps out and then went back yesterday, you know, to plan this boil, and we caught them way better than we thought we would. We had 100 blues exactly, pretty ones, man. They're big.
Wow.
And they're full right now too.
Yep.
They're eating good like the fish are, I guess.
I guess. There's nothing new over here, Mickey. It's still, fishing's still pretty good. A lot more redfish have showed up in East Bay out in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know where they've been. They must have been way back in the marsh, but they finally
Probably.
Came out. Yeah.
Well, they pull it over there, don't they? They're here today, gone tomorrow, and then when you think, well, that's pretty much over for redfish for now, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're everywhere. Isn't that crazy?
It is, you know. These guys that we got people over here that strictly fish for redfish every day. And
right.
And they've been complaining all year long that they're having to work a lot harder to get their fish. And they were convinced that the redfish had moved over toward Florida. That it was, I don't know. It's a
Florida.
Yeah, they got buddies in Florida that are saying redfish and just they've never seen it like it's like it is now.
They're just in a good cycle over there right now is all it is. You tell them about all the times we went to Florida and we'd disagree with that?
Well, I don't know. I'd see them, but it was hard to get them to eat, man.
Boy, it was, man. How about dead stick and, like, dead bait on the bottom with gull flipping up under mangroves, letting it sit there, waiting on one to swim by and eat it. Man, that's hard fishing for guys like us that's been chunking lures all these years.
Man, it's like a nightmare. I don't even want to think about it.
I know.
But fishing's pretty good over here. The crowds haven't been that bad because of hunting, but now the duck season's closed, there might be a lot of people out this weekend.
Yeah, we're in that split right now, so added pressure.
Yeah. That river's full of fish.
Good.
It's full of shrimp.
Any size of those fish in the river? Are they decent fish?
Yeah, they're all... Heck, they're all 17 to 19 inch fish.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to mess with a checking stick or nothing.
No.
Flip them in, box them, and eat them, folks.
Yeah. And then, you hear stories of people catching 4 and 5 pounders, especially
Dang.
At night. Yeah. I don't know where they came from, Mickey. They had to be out in the middle of West Bay.
Yeah.
Maybe, I got to thinking about it, all that wade fishing that I was doing over there, and I was telling you I wasn't seeing porpoises or nothing. And it may be because they were out there in the middle of that bay eating fish. Mm. May have been where they were the whole time.
We were talking about your backyard last night, and we were all sitting around having that crab boil yesterday evening, and a couple of my buddies there, they like to, go fish West Bay in the summer, and they were talking about how those porpoises, they had this one big bull one that just stayed with him. He never bothered him. He swam around him. He never ate a fish, but he was there, and he was prevalent, and it was just, they were talking about how big it was, because we were seeing them this year in Trinity. These are the biggest, dolphins I've ever seen. I mean, big bull ones, and they were rounding up. They were circling and pushing all those redfish in a big pile, and all bull reds, And you've got to have a big dolphin to eat a redfish that big. And that's what they were doing.
Yeah, I saw that in East Bay, you know, about a month ago. Yeah. They had a, it seemed like every time I go to East Bay now, I see a porpoise where normally that wouldn't happen. You know, you see them once or twice a year out there.
Right.
But there's four or five big ones that are staying in East Bay now. But one day I saw the water explode, and I went over there, and it was these four porpoises had a couple hundred redfish all pinned up in a circle. And every now and then, one of those porpoises would come straight up the middle with redfish in his mouth.
Man.
I'd never seen that before.
Boy, they're hungry when they're eating reds like that, you know.
Yeah.
That's, I guess that's good eating for them.
Yeah. You know, I had my phone and that camera, and I should have had it on that. I was just in awe watching it happen instead of, you know, videoing that.
Right.
But
I do that all the time. I go, man, I wish I'd have pulled my phone out and got that, but it happens so fast, and you're overwhelmed with it, and you're interested in it, and you don't think about it.
Right. Right. So,
you know, as long as we've been around, everything we've seen, we are, you know, that's what's so great about the outdoors. You always see new things and learn something, you know, that you didn't think you ever would.
Yeah. You know, way back in the day, I didn't take a lot of pictures, but Maurice took pictures constantly. I bet he's got 100,000 pictures of fishing. But the,
you know, we used to do that a lot. I was talking about that the other night. I said, you know, if I had all the money back that I spent on photo processing, you know, on development, that'd be a chunk of change right there, bud.
Yep. Yeah, I guess I thought it was going to last forever. Flew right by.
Well, it was just so good. You just didn't want to mess with photos.
Yeah.
You know, I guess if we'd have just taken box loads, you know, that's the way the talk was back in the day. Is that, well, how many boxes you get today, Charlie? Yeah. Well, I filled them all up. Okay, well, good for you. Now it's time to clean them.
Filled 384s or 155.
Yeah, because we didn't have any big coolers back then, man. Everything was, you know, 84s or 86s, whatever they were, and 48s. We didn't have all this variety of different size coolers like we do now.
Yeah. Remember, I had a Falcon Cougar that I used for about 5 years.
I remember that
years.
Boat.
I had 255 quart ice chests, one on each side in front of the windshield.
Meat all boat.
Jesus Christ.
That was sick. That was plumb gaudy.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Was that the boat you were in that day you came all the way from the past and came back there in East Bay, and I just caught that 10-pounder and went back to the boat to weigh it and everything, and you pulled up, and I said, man, just get out, Charlie. Throw your guys out and just have them head that way. It's unbelievable in here. He said, well, we're kind of waiting on that tide, and I think I'm going to go back to the pass. I'll never forget that. I laughed so hard when you pulled out of there and headed back to San Luis Pass. James man, goes, where'd Charlie go? I said, he's going to go back to the pass.
I had somebody in the boat was wanting me. I was just showing him places to fish.
Yeah.
I had launched at the pass. And
yeah.
You know,
I didn't know that boat held that much gas, man.
I think I had just gotten a brand new Falcon Striper is what that was.
Yeah, it may have been that Striper. You're probably right. It wasn't a Cougar. It was a Striper. I remember it now.
But anyway.
Well, that was some fun times, man.
I'm telling you.
All them days out of the old crawlies there, Jerry and Doug and Maurice, you, and, man, all the old-timers like, what was it, Boudreaux Nallon and V. Nash and my parents and old Peyton Shelton and the Anderson boys. Gary used to work there. Remember, he run the boat lift when he was a kid. He was putting everybody's boats in.
Butch Moody. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, Butch Moody. I forgot about Mr. Magoo. Remember, that's what we called him in the later days. He was totally blind. He was still out there fishing, man.
Yeah. One side of his boat was black from chewing the back and spitting in his boat.
Hey, and the outside on the other side from reeling trout in. Remember when we used to get that build up on the side? We would reel so many fish in, and those trout would shake at the boat and puke all over it, sling all that regurgitated bait all over the side of your boat, and it just stick like, you know, you had to use a pressure washer to get it off.
Yeah.
You could tell who was catching them and who wasn't by signs like that.
Yes. No doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
That's good memories. And yes, then Charlie said, y'all can have it. I'm going to Matagorda. You took off. What was that, 88, 89, somewhere in there?
It was 86, 87.
Was it that early?
I started bouncing back and forth. My customers didn't want to go back. They said, no, man, there was nobody here.
Man, nobody. I remember those days.
Yeah.
Well, there it is now.
I could go in Cane Cove every day. The problem was I was taking so many different people in there that eventually, well, after I took Maurice in and that was it, I decided I need to start looking for something else. they wore them out.
Yeah, they're just, that bay's just, that bay has been that way since I can remember. You know how it just when you think it looks so bad, well, there can't be any fish left in East Bay, and it's just like you can't get rid of all the fish. It just replenishes so quick.
I don't know. I don't know how they get in there that many, that quick. You know, what's been there all year long.
They got to be coming from both ends, you know, funneling in from, you know, the intercoastal on the west end and then, you know, Mitchell's and all that on the east end and using that intercoastal too. I don't know, man. It's a mind boggler to me.
It's a mind boggler to all of us. It is.
How many guides you think y'all have running out of Matagorda now in that area?
100, 125.
No, come on.
Oh, yeah. All these guys that are working all these plants, they've all got a captain's license. They all got on weekends and their days off.
Mm-hmm.
You've got one lodge here that runs 6 boats a day.
Goodness.
Quite a few, man. Quite a few.
That's a lot of pressure, and it still, you know, it still hangs in there.
Yep.
I'm so embarrassed. I've been in Galveston Bay my whole life, and there's so many new guides and so many of them. I don't know who anybody is anymore.
I don't know the names of the ones here.
You know, I feel terrible that I don't know any of them, you know, that, well, I was just used to the old days when there was just a handful of us and you knew who everybody was and just, but now it's just overwhelming.
Yeah.
Like Plog said one day, he said, who isn't a guide nowadays?
That's right. That's right.
Licensed charter captain.
What a life.
Yeah. It's glamorous. It's big time.
Where's old Bill at this morning? Is he hunting?
I don't know. I've texted him and I hadn't had any replies. You know, I couldn't get a hold of him Saturday and then today, and I just hope something's not wrong. You know, with the way everything's going in this world these days, you just, man, here today, gone tomorrow. I don't know. I hope something bad didn't happen. I hope he's hunting.
Yeah. And I heard you say a while ago, Will passed, huh?
Yeah, that was, man, I kind of saw it coming. That old man, I love that old man. We had some really good times together. And I always, every time I'd go up to see my dad, about every other time I'd run over and see him. And he was just so heartbroken with his wife. That's all he had. I mean, the only family he had left was a nephew. up there in Illinois where he moved back to. I mean, he sold his bass boat. And, I mean, it was kind of like my dad after my mom died. He lost interest in fishing. I took him a couple of times. We'd fish till about 10:30. He said, man, it just ain't the same anymore, Mick. Take me in. And Will was kind of to that point, and he sold his – he had a nice place up there on Rayburn. He sold that and his boat and donated a lot of his tackle. I mean, that guy had it, and a plethora of knowledge. Man, he had – I wish I had his brain right now inside my head to know what he knows on Rayburn. And he moved back up there and bought him a place, you know, one of those – well, it wasn't like assisted living, but it was a place where old people kind of retire, and it was a gated community and all that, you know, to be close to the only family he had left with his nephew, because he didn't have, you know, him and Vicky didn't have any children. And he, you know, I stayed in touch with him periodically, and we went about a, he went about a month without calling me because he got a new phone and I didn't have that number to call him up there. And I knew something was wrong when he didn't call me.
Yeah.
And sure enough, he'd gone downhill pretty quick.
Yep.
And he was in good shape. You know, it just, some guys just, you know, they die of a broken heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I don't know, what was he, about 83, I guess? I know he was pretty spry for his age. I'd go out there and fish. He'd grind all day, Charlie. He could run a trolling motor on a bass boat like nobody's business.
Yeah,
we'd get in a tight spot, and he'd back me into a little slough where I could flip worms up in there and jerk a couple of bass out of there. And he said, well, it's good to know they're still up in here. Let's move to another one. You know, he was just, and I mean, all day long, he'd grind. I said, Will, you tired yet? He said, I woke up tired, but he said, hey, we're fishing, man. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know when it's time to go in. I said, okay, I don't want to overdo it.
Well,
you couldn't fish him down.
Oh, well.
Good guy.
Yep.
And people don't know a lot of good things about him, like him and Vicky. There was a like a kids center that they put a lot of time into, and they donated money. Actually, he built a wing onto that place up north somewhere. They'd go up there every year and take rod and reels and teach kids how to fish and give them all that equipment. But they added a big wing onto this facility. I mean, big money now. And, you know, for these kids for arts and crafts, and they used to have, man, he'd donate clothes. I mean, all kinds of stuff to them, you know, orphans. And it was pretty good. He had a soft spot in his heart for kids like that.
All right.
Good man.
Yep.
Another good one gone, brother. It won't be long. He'll be talking about you and me.
I know.
And a lot of our buddies.
I know. You should never think about it, but you think about it now.
Yeah, you do.
You know.
That's why you get up every morning and thank the Lord you made another day and make the most of it. Enjoy life.
That's it.
Don't complain about nothing. Just go with it, man. Life's too short.
Yes, it is.
Well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.